Amen. I'm walking by faith. Appreciate that very, very much. And always enjoy hearing our ladies sing. Amen. And I'm glad you're here this morning. Let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll look, begin reading in verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. The Lord is so good. This building is so nice. It's nicer than I ever expected for it to be. Just what a blessing. And so this morning we're not dealing with as much dust as we've dealt with the last few weeks, but now we're dealing with the carpet fumes and glue. I know some even had to leave, and I just hate that. But it won't take very long. That fumes will go away. And the smell, got that new car smell, you know, and enjoy that a little bit. But they were still laying carpet here last night, so it's some of that glue's pretty fresh. But anyway, looking forward to tonight, to the youth-led service. I hope that you'll be here tonight to hear some of our preacher boys preach. It's going to be a good time, and I hope that you'll be here tonight for that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling here, given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Verse 20 is our main text this morning. But ye have not so learned Christ. So the things we just discussed, the things we just read, these are things you haven't learned from Christ. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Amen. We mainly want to dwell in verse 20 this morning, but ye have not so learned Christ. Let's pray. We thank you this morning, Lord, for your love for us. God, we thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for us. We realize and we understand this morning that Christ is truly all that we need. And I pray this morning as we preach these simple truths that each of us would be encouraged and just encouraged so much, Lord, to know your Son more. We ask this in your name. Amen. Christianity is Christ. Pretty simple thought, but Christianity is Christ. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. Religion simply means a set of rules, and Christianity is not a set of rules. And there are many other things we could say, but Christianity is Christ. The purpose or the goal of the saved is to glorify God. But in glorifying God, that is, we are to be like His Son, Jesus Christ. That our goal and our supreme goal is to follow Him, to follow Jesus Christ. Our goal is to be like Him. Amen. Christianity. Christian means Christ-like. And I'll say it, we've said it many times in the pulpit, that you can be saved and not be a Christian. Christian means Christ-like. Are you living like Christ would live? Are you acting? Are you doing what Christ would do? To glorify Jesus Christ. If we say our goal is to be like Christ, then we ought to study Him. Now, if I said I thought a lot of Abraham Lincoln, which I do, and let's say we wanted to be like Abraham Lincoln, what would we do? I mean, he's a good man. If I want to be just like him, if that was my purpose in life, was to be like him, if I want to pattern my life after him, then I would want to take on his characteristics, right? I grow a beard, I did that last week, so we're past that. I shaved that thing off that evening. I was done with that. But I want to be like him. Then I would begin to study his life. I would get everything I could to, read about him and to study about him, to learn about him, anything I could about him. Right? If I want to be like Jesus Christ, then I'm going to study about him. If that's my goal in life, is to be like Christ, then I better study about him. And this is a place where I go to study about him. I just encourage you again. Our purpose is to glorify God. We glorify God through Jesus Christ. And our goal is to be like him. Then we have to read the book to find out about him in order that we might live like him. And so we think about that for a moment. It is the Bible. It is the central focus. The Bible is Christocentric. It is the central theme. He is the central theme of the Bible, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. Man. That was weak. We should have practiced on that one. I thought they knew where I was headed. Taylor didn't know where I was headed? No. I thought Dylan, of all people, the smartest one of the group. But it's the Bible where we learn about Jesus Christ. It is the Bible whose central focus is Christ and everything about Him. From Old and New Testament, from beginning to end, it's all about Him. Christ is absolutely our lesson. Ye have not so learned Christ, the Bible says here. These are the things you haven't learned from Jesus Christ. Here's the things you should put away. Put on the new man. Amen. When I got saved, I put on a new man. I got a different desire, a different want to. I want to be like Jesus Christ. When you got saved, when you accepted Christ as your Savior, you entered the school. You entered the school of salvation. You've entered the school. You are a student of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is the master teacher. I'm glad today the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. John chapter 14, verse 26 says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." It's the Holy Spirit who's there as our teacher. He will lead you into all truth. We think about other teachers. We think about the pastor, the preachers that come through here. I think about Brother Webster, Brother J.C. House, and Brother Jonathan Stewart, and many others. Brother Sam Davison, who was here. And others who encourage us in the Word of God. And of course, myself and the teachers in your Sunday school classes, and the Master Club teachers, and the Children's Church workers, and on and on and on. Those who teach and preach the Word of God are teaching us about the Lord Jesus Christ. You learn about Christ, you learn everything. That's our priority, is to learn about Him. You have not so learned Christ. What do we need to learn about Christ? What do we need to learn about Christ? Let's go through a few of these things this morning. We must, number one, learn to know Him. This subject, as I said, Wednesday night, has come up a lot in just my reading here of late and just talking with other people about knowing Him. And knowing Him and how that helps us with our trials and our sufferings and the challenges we face in life. But knowing Jesus Christ is the foundation of our life. It's the foundation. It's the beginning. The way of eternal life. Paul said that his goal was to know Him. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, he says that I might know Him in the fellowship of suffering and so forth. He also says there in verse 8 that yea doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. He said, I count all those things but loss that I've gained, except to know Jesus Christ, except to know Him. Our priorities, our first thing in life, our purpose is to know Jesus Christ. We should seek to know Him. We should know Christ concerning everything, who He is and what He is. I was telling the men this morning, as we were about to pray, that I had someone else give me a bunch more books. That's all I need is more books. If you've been up in my office, you'll know that. I'm a book magnet, right? And I'm very, very thankful for the books that have come across my path. And my very first pastor I worked for, he passed away, and his wife allowed me, and I got his books, his library, 3,000 volumes of his library. The next pastor I worked for, he retired. I got most of his library. Brother Henderson, who's here, gave me a few of his books. And then other pastors. I've had pastors just drive by the church and drop in and say, "Hey, would you like to buy my library?" I'm like, "Yeah, I will." And then we've passed them out to staff members. We've given out books, and, you know, very helpful, good books. I enjoy books. I enjoy reading about the Bible, reading about the Lord. And I was telling the men this morning, there's a lot of preachers who like to read a lot of philosophy, and they'll read about this philosophy and that philosophy. I don't know how they get time to do all that. I have one book that I want to master. My library may be full, but this is the book that I want to master, because this is the book that tells me about Jesus. This is the book that tells me His words. I want to know Him. It's foundational in my life. I want to know who and what He is. He was God. He is God. He is man. He was, and He lived a sinless life. He died. He rose again. That's the Lord. That's the Savior that I serve. That's Jesus Christ. He's eternal. He's from beginning to end. He's the Alpha, the Omega. He's the eternal one. He's the sovereign one. He's the one begotten of the Father before the world began. I mean, on and on and on. I want to know Him. I want to know Him, who He is. His perfect life. His death, His burial, His resurrection. I want to know what He's done. I want to see His perfect and hear and read of His perfect obedience. His law-fulfilling life. By the way, He lived that life, that perfect life for you and for me. So that our sins, when they're forgiven, our sinful record is erased and Christ's sinless record is put in His place. Amen. I'm thankful I stand before the Lord justified. I stand before God justified, just as if I had never sinned. What has He done for me? He satisfies God's wrath for me. He satisfies God's wrath for me. He died on the cross for me. He died in my place. He rose from the grave on the third day, proving He paid for our sins in full, and that He was indeed sinless, and He was the Son of God, and is the Son of God. By the way, now He's in heaven, sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for us, going to God on our behalf, and one day the Father, His Father, will say, "Go get Him," and He'll come again for us, for His children. He is coming again. By the way, do you know who He is? Do you know what He's done for you? Have you so learned this? Have you learned this? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Do you realize the price that He paid for you and for your sins? Do you understand about His saving grace? Do you have you experienced the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ in your own life? Do you have a personal relationship with Him? That is foundational. That is foundational. That is the starting point. That's when you enter the school. Have you entered the school? It's not only what He is and who He is and what He's done for us, but what He has said. So we're learning about Him now. Christ is our lesson. We're learning about Him in order that we might be like Him. Learning who He is, that He's eternal. He's the Son of God. He's man, both God and man, perfect. What He's done for us by dying on the cross for us and shedding His blood for our sins. And then what He said. There's so many things He said. In fact, the Bible says that the Bible couldn't contain it. In fact, the books of the world could not contain what all He has said, what He all said when He was here on earth. But the Bible does record His words for us, His sermons, His teachings, His life. And He said many things concerning salvation, many things concerning life, concerning heaven, concerning hell, concerning money, concerning family, concerning husbands and wives and raising kids and love and all these things. Have you learned them? Have you read them? Have you so learned Christ? See, a lot of people caught up in reading a lot of other books. Whatever it may be. Star Telegram, I don't know. The Startlegram? The Dallas Morning News? I don't know what your favorite read is. Maybe it's, you know, novels or whatever the case is. But can I tell you, this is the most important book you can read. Amen. Because this is where you're going to learn the words of Jesus. This is where you're going to learn about His life. This is where you're going to learn about the teachings that He taught. Listen, absolutely, you know, there are many philosophy books that have been written. And I have some of them in my office. I haven't read any of them, but they're up there. Putting them in boxes. But we don't learn about life primarily from philosophy or from Spock or raising kids. We learn about raising our kids from the Bible.
Learn about money from the Bible. Learn about love from the Bible. I mean, on and on and on. We learn about those things from the Bible because it's Jesus' life. It's who He is. What He said is very important. We need to remember that reading the book of books is the most important book we can read. And then lastly, what He has saved, or to us that are saved, what He is to us. What He is to you as a saved, born-again Christian. What He is to me as a saved, born-again Christian. We had a theme several years ago. It was called Our Foundation, or The Foundation. Can I tell you that to the saved, if you're born again this morning, you know Jesus as your Savior, He is your foundation.
Amen.
He's your foundation. He is the root. He is our refuge. He is our armor. I mean, if you can go through everything, He is everything to us. He is everything. He's our hope.
Amen.
I'm glad I have hope this morning. He's our Savior. Have you learned this? Who He is, what He's done, what He's said. The benefits you have as a Christian. And I don't have time to go through all of them. Think about adoption and being adopted in the family of God and being a brother and sister in Christ. All the benefits that we have in being a Christian. What a wonderful, wonderful Savior we have.
Amen.
What have you learned? You say, well, I'm learning these things. And I know it's a process, right? It is. It is. But we must learn to know Him. We also should learn to believe Him. We should learn to believe Him. Our kids experience this as well as life goes on. As little children, they began to believe us and trust in us, right? And as life goes on, they begin to trust us and believe us more, hopefully, unless we break that trust. But you can take a little kid who's 7 or 8 or 9, you can get them to jump off a house to their dad's arms, right? For the most part. I mean, there's exceptions to the rule. I mean, I feel my dad, my kids trust me. But we should trust the Lord. We should trust Him. We must learn to do so. We learn to do so by seeing what He's done for us in the past and how that we've been able to trust Him in the past, and therefore we can trust Him for the future. I have hope for the future because of what He's done for me in the past. The one thing I know that I can trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The one person I can trust every time is the Lord Jesus Christ. I place my trust in Him. We come to Him as a sick man comes to the doctor, as a thirsty man comes to a fountain, as a starving man comes to the kitchen table. We come to Him. Let all go to Him. All our sin, all our righteousness. That we come empty to Him and He will fill us. I know that's platitudes this morning, but it's absolutely true. I come to Him weak. He makes me strong. I come to Him empty. He fills me up. I tell you, many times we come to Him prideful. We do. Accomplishing our own things and doing our own thing. I want to come to Him believing and trusting Him for my life. Trusting in Him for all that's within me. Also, I must learn to love Him. To love Him above all else. That He is my priority. The Bible says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And many, many today, not just lost, but those who are saved as well, have put things and idols in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said to Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Remember that? Peter said, what? Thou knowest that I love thee. Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Lord, you know that I love you. Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Peter, I could just see him get exacerbated and say, Jesus, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep. But what he was asking was, do you love me more than your old employment? Do you love me more than fishing? You know, do you love me more than these disciples? Do you love me? What's between me and you? And can I ask you the same question this morning? What's between you and the Savior? What is in your life that is of greater priority than the Lord Jesus Christ? We ought to learn to love Him. By the way, He is lovely. Psalm 45 says, thou art fairer than the children of man. Galatians 2 verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, what? Who loved me and gave Himself for me. He gave His life for me. Shed His blood for me. In fact, in our text there it says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ for sake hath forgiven you. He died on the cross and forgave me. He loved me. By His own blood He washed away our sins. Ephesians 3:19. And to know the love of Christ which passeth not what? The love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Listen, think about it for a moment. The God of the universe died on a cross for me. The God of the universe, the God who made the sun, the moon, the stars, and the trees, He died for me on a cross. You know, He laid down His life for me. That love passes knowledge. I can't fathom and understand that completely. My God loved me so much, He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for me, to shed His blood for me. He loved me that much. And listen, we need to learn to love Him as He loved us. What a selfless love that He showed toward us. And He expects us to love Him back. By the way, we were created for that purpose. To communicate with Him. To fellowship with Him. To love Him. By the way, we love Him because He first loved us. Aren't you glad of that? Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Wonderful it is to me. Far beyond all human comprehension. What a great song. We must learn to love Him. We must learn to obey Him. To do what He would have us to do. And it's absolutely a process. Christ trains us. He teaches us. John 14 verse 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. John chapter 15 again says, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Ephesians says, walk worthy of your call. Don't walk as the heathen do. We love Him and we're to obey Him. See, children have to be trained to mind. Don't you love it? Train up a child the way he should go when he's old and won't depart from it. You have to train a child to mind. Something that takes some effort. Depending on the child, a lot of effort. Right? It takes love, and not all parents experience and have that love, but it also takes time. And I've said from the pulpit 1,000 times, love is spelled T-I-M-E. For a child, love is spelled T-I-M-E. If you're going to train a child and you say you love them, you've got to spend time with them. Right? You've got to be careful about working too much. You've got to be careful about this and that. You've got to spend time with them. But training a child takes effort. It takes time. It takes love. But it takes also rewards many times and punishment. Right? You don't do certain things, this is going to happen to you. You're going to get the, what? The Board of Education applied to the seat of understanding? The proper discipline found in Proverbs?
Yeah.
Amen? Amen? Not Spock's teachings, but the Bible teachings?
Amen.
Good old-fashioned, love that is applied to the seat of the pants? As you train them, as you guide them, as you love them, all of this takes time. All of this takes love and compassion, of course, and just great patience. As you train a child, can I tell you this morning that Jesus Christ has patience with us?
Amen.
That He is absolutely training us and teaching us and helping us through this life now. But we are to obey Him. And when we don't obey Him, He patiently applies pressure. He patiently applies the Board of Education to the seat of the understanding of the adults as well as the children. And that He understands, and we know from the Bible that the philosophy, but the principle of reaping and sowing is still in effect today. That you reap what you sow. You reap more than you sow. The Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, He what? Chasteneth. And so we must remember that we ought to obey Him. Not because we have to, but because we want to. But He will correct His children. We'll say, my God's not that way. Well, your God's not the God of the Bible. We got this politically correct system going on today that this God's a God of love and da da da. Yeah, God's a God of love, and yes, it's one of His primary, absolutely primary characteristics, one of His primary attributes, but He's also a just God.
Amen.
We must learn to love Him, of course, and obey Him. These are things that takes time. And then we must learn to suffer with Him. To every victory, there's work. To every victory, there's suffering. If you're going to win a race, you're going to have to train. You got to work at it. Bible says, in this world you shall suffer persecution. We know that day is coming in America as well. It's here for somewhat. Luke 9, verse 23 says, "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me." We're going to get up in the morning and understand and know that God is with us during the day, but just pray, simply pray, "Lord, you help me to live in the Spirit, not the flesh today." You take up that cross and you follow Him every day. Christianity is not a yearly process. Christianity is not waiting till January to make a New Year's resolution. Christianity is taking up your cross daily and following Him. It's starting over every day. You say, "Well, I messed up yesterday." Start over today. You say, "Well, I need to wait till January." You don't have to wait till January. I start a new diet every Monday. But see, Christianity is not just every Monday. Christianity is every day. Every day, start over. By the way, you start over every minute if you want to. You say, "God, do that for me." Absolutely He will. He loves you. We must learn to suffer with Him. But as we suffer, we must understand that He's just working on us. Time and pressure make diamonds. Suffering is simply a stepping stone that leads to a blessing. Absolutely. Don't you believe it?
Amen.
Every time. Christ, we must learn to know Him. We must learn to believe Him. We must learn to obey Him. We must learn to suffer with Him. We must learn to love Him. All of these things. He is our lesson. He is our lesson. Jesus Christ. You have not so learned Christ. Have you learned these things? I mean, when you go through suffering, have you learned that it's a stepping stone to blessing? I mean, have you learned that? When you suffer, have you understand that Christ suffered for you? I mean, have you learned these things? Have you applied these things? Have you learned Him for salvation? Christians, have you learned to fulfill the purpose that He has for you in your life? You see, He's a lesson that anyone can learn. This is very important because there's just certain subjects I have a hard time with. In fact, there's just certain subjects now I don't even want to study. Like computers. I remember in high school, when I was in high school is when they first started all this, you know, or putting them in public school. So that we had a computer lab at school made up of Packard Bell 286s. And he had about 20 of them in there, you know, and the computer teacher, and he learned, DOS, or I don't remember what all it was, but go through all that and learn all that language, you know, from outer space, you know, to us it seemed that way. And I learned all that, and up until about 15 years ago, I had a little bit of interest in it. Now I have zero. I want to turn my computer on, and it goes, zoop, it comes up, and I use it. I don't want to know why it's that way. I don't know how. I don't want to know how it works. Just want to push the button and it comes on. And when it does not fast enough, I want to chunk it in the trash and go buy a new one. Same thing with my telephone. Right? Most of us are that way. Why is that? Because a lot of that stuff's hard to learn. In my mind now, you know, I'm not saying I couldn't do it. I don't want to do it. And I don't think I could learn some of it. It would be impossible for me. My mind doesn't work that way. Now, if you want to challenge me to a book read, especially something to do with the Bible and Jesus Christ, that's something my mind, I enjoy those things. I used to love the mechanic. I did. I used to be, when me and my wife first got married, when we went out on dates, a lot of our dates were at wrecking yards. I had 6 vehicles when we got married. I loved it. I enjoyed working on cars. I rebuilt motors and do all that. I enjoyed all that kind of stuff. I did. I've done none of that in the last 15 years. I mean, none of it. I have zero desire to do it anymore. Zero, because now all this computer stuff and whatever. I care. And I still have my 60 Chevrolet pickup. Someday I'm going to fix it up. First vehicle I ever bought when I was 13. Y'all have heard the story, some of you. But that's to me, my mind doesn't go there anymore. Those things are hard to learn. You know, to be a doctor, to be a lawyer, things are hard to learn. But everybody can learn Christ. Hello? You see, it's an easy subject. It can be easily learned. Now, 1 Corinthians says it's not learned by the natural man.
The natural man can't understand and cannot know the things or receive the things of God. But those who are willing learners, those who have been saved and enlightened by the Holy Spirit, God will help those who seek Him.
Amen.
You can learn Him. You say, "Preacher, I don't understand everything I read when I read my Bible." Listen, I don't understand everything I read when I read the Bible. We're all still learners.
Yes.
We're all still learning. But I'm telling you, there's many and various subjects in the Bible that we can learn. But the one thing we can learn is about Christ. And that subject is easy.
Amen.
That subject is easy. All of us can. Well, by the way, once it's learned, it won't be unlearned. Hallelujah. Once you accept Christ as your Savior, you've learned Him, you've accepted Him, He'll never reject you. He'll never set you aside. You can't be plucked out of His hand. Amen? Saved forever. Saved for eternity. But you can learn Jesus Christ. God will help you. If you'll simply ask. When you sit down to read your Bible, don't just slip through without praying a little prayer. "Lord, help me to understand what I'm reading today." The psalmist tells us that. "As I peer into Your Word, Your wonderful Word, Lord, help me to understand what I'm reading." He'll do it for you. It's sad, but there are many today who haven't learned the lesson of Christ. Those who like to study other things, those caught up in other things. And by the way, the Bible says, "Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to eternal life." There's a world out there today dying, going to hell, who have set Christ aside in our schools, public schools, set Christ aside and almost in our government. I mean, they've set Christ aside. It's a sad day sometimes when we think about those things. But there are many at your workplace who have set Christ aside. There's some neighbors, some friends, some others you need to tell about Christ. We need to remember that. By the way, if we're going to learn Christ, it's a lesson that needs to be learned on our knees. Humble yourself before God. Psalm 119, and the whole psalm basically is David saying, "Lord, teach me about You. Help me to learn Thy statutes. Help me to learn the law of God. Help me to know You more." He's a lesson that one book is enough. I don't know how many books I have. Couldn't tell. I have books in boxes now. I probably have 30 or 40 books, boxes of books that are not even out. But you don't have to have all those books to learn about Christ. You just have to have the one. Amen? Listen, it's a book that just one book. You say, "Well, Brother Crawford, you talk about buying this book from the bookstore or doing this." Listen, you have to buy any of those. I love books. I love The Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozer. There's many other books that are at the top of my list. But this is the best book. And if you can only afford to buy one, this is the one you buy.
Amen.
Absolutely. The one you study. It's the book of books. It is the greatest book on earth. Unparalleled it stands. Its author God, its truth divine, inspired in every word and line, though written by human hands. It's a great book. A wonderful book. Any other subject takes many books. If you're going to be a lawyer, there are many books you have to learn. If you're going to be a doctor, there are many books you have to learn. Christian, there's only one book you have to learn. I'm sorry, that you need to learn. It's this book. It completes the subject.
Amen.
There's no test at the end. Amen. Now we have to sit down in heaven and take a test. He is a lesson that will do us a lot of good. See, I'm glad I'm saved. I know many of you are today. You understand salvation. You're so glad you're saved. And the lessons we learn from Christ are not just lessons for heaven and to gain us eternal life. But those lessons now apply here. You see, learning Jesus Christ, these are useful lessons to help us in this life, to help us with our marriages, to help us again with raising our families, to help us with our finances, to help us in our employer-employee relationships. In everything in our life, it applies. The Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ, our lesson, is there today, teaching us and helping us to make life better now.
Life was not meant to be endured, it's meant to be enjoyed. My marriage was not meant to be endured, it's meant to be enjoyed. My kids were meant to be a joy to me, and the Bible tells us how that can happen. I'm glad today the lessons are found in the Bible that are sweet, comforting, energizing, renewing, reforming. What a great book, if you'll only read it. He's a lesson that we can never completely learn. We'll always be learning. It's a subject that never ends. It just keeps on giving. And what a wonderful lesson it is. And as I said before, once you've learned it, it can't be unlearned. Once you get saved, you don't lose it. Aren't you glad? What a wonderful, wonderful joy there is in knowing that we know that we're saved. Amen. Let's all stand. Have you learned this? Have you learned it? He said, you have not so learned Christ. All those things, those wicked things that the Gentiles were doing and those that we did before we got saved and those are things we don't learn from Christ. Put away malice. Put away those things. Be kind one to another. Those are the things we learn from Christ. Let us learn the lessons from Jesus Christ. Let us know Him. Let us learn to love Him and obey Him. Let us learn to suffer with Him. Let us understand that the lessons we learn from Him will help us here and now. Not just here in the hereafter, but the here and now. Lord, we thank You this morning for Your love and Your graciousness to us. God, we thank You for the lessons we can learn from Your Son. And we pray that we help us as Christians to learn those lessons. That many things we hear, the many things that we read in the Bible, that we would apply them to our life. And that we would again seek Your Son first and put Him first in our lives. Help us to put away those idols and those sins that so easily beset us. Let us continue to run the race with patience, Lord. We do thank You for the many who are here. We pray, Lord, for someone here who does not know You as their personal Savior, that today they might get saved today. They might start in this wonderful, wonderful lesson of You. We ask this in Your name.